Loslecker. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to our session, Customizing System Center, Things You've Never Seen Before. My name is Dieter Gasser. I am with Soliance IT Services. We are a solution integrator for System Center based in Zurich in Switzerland. And I first of all would like to thank you to join today's session on what you can do with System Center, how far you can take System Center with customization. Now, basically, to start it off, I want to tell you it's all about the demonstration, so we try not to be in PowerPoint too much. So we do a lot of demos. It's a demo-packed session. We prepared three use cases that we would like to show you. One use case is in Operations Manager. We have another one in Service Manager and one in Configuration Manager. First of all, a short introduction. Again, Soliance, we are a solution integrator. We work with data center management and automation tools from Microsoft. So if we name that, that would be System Center. So we actually integrate the whole System Center suite as part of project engagements. We do cloud computing, so anything around Hyper-V and Windows Azure. And what makes us a little bit different from other solution integrators in that landscape, we also have software development. And we believe that customization is the key to success. System Center is great out of box, but there is a lot more you can do to actually adhere to your business processes to make System Center fulfill what you need in your organization. And that's also why we have our whole staff here. We have Anton Gritsenko. He's our lead developer and software engineer who is developing most of, or has the lead in developing most of our add-ons and tools for System Center. We have Mark von Orsow. He is our private cloud consultant and also responsible for System Center Operations Manager. And Roger Sander, who is our workplace management senior consultant. I am the co-founder of Soliance IT Services and have a little bit of technical focus on service management as well. So what are we going to do today? We have prepared three use cases. We actually want to walk you through a scenario of using SCUM, SCSM, and SCCM, and of showing you what you can do with customizing these products. We will start off with a use case with Mark von Orsow. He will be an operator who is using SCUM, and he has difficulties in seeing information from Service Manager because he's an operator, he knows some alerts are being worked on by the service desk, and he wants to see more information what is going on in the service desk, and we're going to leverage SCUM PowerShell dashboards to help him fulfill his goals. After that, we will move on with Service Manager. We have prepared a sample where you see how the installation of a workstation can be driven with a service request that is triggered in Service Manager. And then we actually automate the provisioning of the workstation by using web services in Configuration Manager that are being called from Service Manager. So the environment we're going to be working with is illustrated right here. We have Operations Manager that is using HTTP request to retrieve information from the self-service portal. So on the top left corner is ITSM portal. That's the self-service portal that we use, which is attached to Service Manager. Service Manager right in the middle, of course, also connects to SCUM to exchange alert data. We can raise incidents from alerts and also update alerts from Service Manager when they are being assigned. And on the right-hand side, we have SCCM, which is being triggered by Service Manager by using web service calls that we are going to show you. So let's get started then. I would like to hand over to Mark von Orsow. He's our operator working with SCUM, and he wants to show you how he can fulfill his need of getting information from the service desk.
Lost my VPN. we have a little wireless problem. We have to reconnect to our network.
Here we go.
As it goes with presentations, right? Let's cancel here. Sorry for that. We seem to have lost the connectivity. Strange. No, that's a nightmare, actually. It says connected, but it isn't. Try again. Okay, there you go. Hopefully it's stable now.
That look as bad there, here? Yeah.
Yep, it does. Move it over here. Full screen it. Much better now, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry for that.
Normally, if I can reach an environment as a SCOM admin, I start in the SCOM console looking at all the new alerts that come in. So here I see at the moment I have two alerts. What often happens is that because I'm an operator, I'm working here in the console, I often forget to, and it's hard to create incidents to really track the problems that are coming from SCOM and not over the service desk. To make that a bit easier to, for the SCOM admin like me to add that, we made a connector to Service Manager. And if we have a critical alert, it will automatically raise a ticket in Service Manager. So we say each time when an alert is critical, there should be an incident. So we create an incident automatically. On the other hand, I have warnings, like this one. Sometimes I want to create an incident from there. And then I have to go to a Service Manager, create that incident. And because I know how to fix it, I'm often quicker, I just fix it, and I forget to create a ticket after. So what we did there, we made the connector. It will not automatically, so an alert will not automatically raise a ticket. But I can say, set the resolution state on incident, then it will update the alert and it will create a ticket in Service Manager for me. Now I can, as the operator, go to the system, fix the alert, and if I come back at my station, I see, oh, hey, I still have the ticket open, I need to close it. So now I'm pretty sure that I do my administration after, and it won't take me too much time, because that server is down. I want to immediately check on that server and not first go to Service Manager and create a call. This way, it's pretty easy for me to create a ticket. Then I can start, and the ticket's already in Service Manager, so I cannot forget to create the ticket and to close the ticket. How does that work? We have here some internal connectors. One of them is the Alert Sync connector. This is the connector to Service Manager. And here I have two connectors. One is the critical one. On everything, each and every alert, that is an error. And then, and it's new. Of course, I don't want on each change of an alert to again create a new ticket. So it will only create a ticket when it's new. And for the incident, I do always the same, but only if I have set the resolution state on incident. I want to create an incident from this one. So this makes it already much easier for the And now here I can say on the one that I had that is create a ticket. What I often have next to that is in, for example, this is our portal. You will see it a bit later. This portal I can also use to search in the knowledge base article. So I can also see here on alerts what is happening with my tickets, and I can search the knowledge base. Like I had a problem with RunS. Do I have something? Yeah, I have a knowledge base article for that. But of course, if I'm busy, that's actually often too much work. So what we did here with a PowerShell web console is go to the knowledge base article from SCOM directly. So if I see here, I had that call with the RunS. And if I click it now, it will automatically load the portal and will search for the description, but also for the server name, because an alert could be different, could be have another article on another server. So here I can see I have RunS checked. Oh, okay, I need to add some information in the connector and give the account rights. So here I have a specific one, that RunS account. It's not a SCOM RunS account, it's a Service Manager RunS account. Because the system sees, hey, I'm on that server, I get the right knowledge base article. Because a general one from TechEd wouldn't help me here, because I don't know what kind of RunS account. So that's the internal information, and it makes it much easier to find. Because we can still not scale, we can also make a pop-out just to say, hey, I want a complete knowledge base article also in a website. But still, I don't have to type over, hey, that was my alert. I can very quickly get to my knowledge base. Oh, please.
Don't hit
oh. As you see, we have a small connection problem again.
I'm sorry for that.
I'll go back. The other thing is, of course, if I have a ticket, I think it was. I sometimes want to see, hey, what happened? I had a workflow exception last week, I know, and I created a ticket from there. But hey, the alert is still in SCUM, hey, what happened? So here I can go with the one with ticket, and now I can see, okay, what happened? Okay, it went to Anton, that's our developer, that's so good. He checked the upgrades. Oh, he's still analyzing the root cause. Okay, this incident is worked on, and I can go on as a SCUM admin. Again, I don't have to go here from SCUM, get my ticket ID, go to Service Manager, and check all that. So this makes it much easier to get a SCUM administrator, and especially an administrator, to also raise tickets and make it easier to track all the processes and indicate when there are problems. And that's about it about for the SCUM side to make it easy to work with Service Manager.
Maybe you can show us how this works a little bit in the back end.
I almost forgot. Sorry.
We're on level 400 here, so a little bit of code.
Should be
we
there.
Go deeper after that, so anyways. But
so if to the dashboard here. Here I just have my ticket. It's a normal alert view. Here I have one of the new views in that were added with update rollup 2 in SCUM, and one of them is a PowerShell web gadget. If I try to configure that, times configure. So here I have the PowerShell web gadget, and here I have the script. I have it here in the ISE, but oh no, I just leave it there. Just to make it more readable, I paste it in the ISE. It also with a parameter that comes in the global selected items. That are the alerts that I selected in the top window. Then here I say I have a base URL. Where does it go? We have a web service where I can get a ticket by ID. That's the one that I'm calling. Then I have to create a request. This is a pretty default line. It looks a bit, it actually says in the schema, how does that request look like? It's just some standard code. Then I say, okay, the request, what URL does it need? It needs the one for my portal. And I make a collector for the parameters. Then I get all the alerts that are selected, and I get the instance of the alert, because I only have the information. I get the physical instance, and then I say, okay, I have a parameter name that I need to set, and that's the ID. So I have to look for the ID. The web service said I make a query for the ID, and I give my ticket ID as the value. So now I have the ticket ID, and I can search in Service Manager to find the ticket. I add a parameter to the collection, and I actually return it to the PowerShell web browser. So now it knows which method to call to get the right website. And actually the same thing I will do for the knowledge base. There I have really a search. I don't get it by ID, and I do a search. And there I combine the NetBIOS name and the description to make it possible to make knowledge base articles specially for our environment and for that server.
All right. Thank you, Mark. So much for operations manager. Now, what you have seen is more the incident management part, so operators having to work with service desk to resolve incidents that that we have. Now, obviously, service manager can be used for much more ITSM processes. One of the processes that has been built into service manager is service request fulfillment. And along with service request fulfillment, it also allows end users to do self-service service requests. So an end user can actually order stuff through a web portal. And the next demo that we do is with Anton. We are going to use Service Manager because we are now more in the engineering part. We want to stage a workstation. So the use case is there is a new box with a workstation, a laptop. The laptop needs to be installed with an operating system and software on top of that. So what we're doing is we use self-service through our portal to initiate the service request, and after that we will automate the staging of the workstation with Configuration Manager.
Yeah, so first of all we need to create a new ticket, so a new request for our staging. So to do this we are using our portal. So first of all, this will be a demonstration from end user perspective. So this is your end user, how it looks like for your end users. And after this, we go in deep. So this is our request. So we need to provide information for Configuration Manager as a computer name. And we must provide a MAC address. We must select the operating system, and optionally we must can provide some software, or if we not need it, we can disable this or enable.
So I think that's a good example also, because you see, even though installing a computer is more of something that is being initiated by an IT person, it's still valuable to have IT requests available through the portal, because like this you can fulfill the need that each action is being tied to a service request or to a change request and not just have admins do random stuff and nobody knows who did what and when. So with Service Manager you can actually also configure permissions so that only IT people can install a workstation.
So yeah, let's look how it's made from a service manager perspective and from engineer. So first of all, we need to create a template. It's already prepared. So in template, this is very basic template, but in your real environment, you can use very complex scenario. For instance, here we have only one activity which do the real job. So this activity will communicate with Configuration Manager to do the real job. But in your environment, you can create a review activity to review this process before made some real changes in your environment and so on. You can do some manual steps before do the real job, for instance, to add information or to change the information. So in our template, we have a this is our special activity. This is not in out of box. This is developed by us. So this is very simple form, and we have added only one additional field. It's web service calls. In this field, we have added each web service call URL per line. But most important part here is a substitution. So you can use the values of real fields from your request. I will show you later how it works. So now let's find our real request. What we have been created. So on extension tab, we have additional fields. The answer of a user was mapped to these fields. So here is a computer name, here is a MAC address, and here is the operating system. And our software is a real configuration items. So we can view properties, and one of the properties is a collection name in Configuration Manager. So, and we are using this to, and one of the step is Instalix software. And in this step, we're using relationship to get the information about which software we must install. This is how it's look like in Service Manager. Now, let me show you how it's look from a developer perspective. So first of all, we have a it's very simple and only one project in Visual Studio, in which in this project we have three different parts. So first of all, we have a management bug. So this is definition of some classes, type rejections, rules for Service Manager, because Service Manager. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So, because Service Manager should know how to serve these new classes, how to serve the workflows, and so on. So, this is some very basic things. So, this is our custom activity. It's inherited from standard activity class in Service Manager, and we have only added one property. It's a web service calls. It's a string. So, also we have a type projections. This type projection is used in one of them is used in form, and second one is used in view if it's required. Also, we have a rule. It's a workflow. It's a real workflow which will be executed inside of the Service Manager. So, as a data source, we have instance subscriptions. That means then this workflow will be triggered when instance of our class. Here is it. Is updated. And also we have a filter here. So we will trigger this workflow only if status of activity changed from not equal active, change it to status equal active. So then our activity comes to running state, this workflow will be executed. So as a write action, so it's real action, which what this workflow will do. We have this is a standard Windows workflow task, and we will execute the workflow with this class name from this assembly. And as a parameter for this workflow, I'm using the base management ID. This is the internal ID of the object.
In this case, this is the activity, right?
Yeah, this is activity itself. Also in management pack we have a templates, but this is just for why. And also the one of the most important part, we have a custom form. So this is, and again, it started to our custom type projection and looks for this class. Sorry. This class and this assembly. And this assembly is defined in the same management pack. Now let's switch to form.
So maybe I can add something here to give a little bit of background. So on one hand side, you have this management pack in XML, which defines the classes, the type projections, and it references an assembly. Because inside this assembly, this is an actual DLL file, which is being programmed in Visual Studio and compiled. So we have to bundle this DLL in the management pack, because in there we have the form that is displayed in the console. And of course, we have another assembly with the workflow code, the actual code that is being executed.
So yeah, and this is the form what have been created by us. So there is a lot of code here, but usually you will create one activity or one service request and will copy this code to each of your activities, because some base parts are same. For instance, header or tabs or title description, this all those parts are repeated in each of your form. So you need to create this once, and after this you can reuse this in any your new form. So in our custom form we have added only one additional field. Oh, sorry, looks like connection apologize for this. So in our form, we have added only one additional field. It's a web service call. This is usual text box, which allows to use a multi-line text in it. So this is very simple. But the main part of this solution is the workflow itself. Workflow is this is the real activity of workflow foundation. This is part of framework. Windows framework. So here we have our property. If you remember, in the management pack, this is the same property on which will be mapped the internal ID of the activity. Also, for debugging perspective, I have a two different implementation of connect method. So this I'm using for my development machine, and then I switch to release version. So this means this version will go to production. It's automatically changed to localhost. Because when you develop a workflow, the workflow must always connect to localhost. And here is our main methods. This method will be called when real workflow is executed. So first of all, we need to get the activity by SDK. Now we must find the root request. Because for instance, if your activity is inside of parallel or sequential activity, the parent activity will be sequential. So we need to go up until we not find the root request. And again, sorry. So this code will do the looping while the parent is null. This means that we have found the real root service request or change request. It doesn't matter in this case. So after this, we need to get this request from service manager by SDK. Yeah. Now we must get the lines to execute web services from our property. That's how it looks like. So we have a mapping here. So, and now we must handle all of this. So this is just a simple regex. So we find the property, we replace the property with real value, and then at the end, it's more comments than code here. And at the end, we have a line with our real values here. So after this, everything what we need just to execute the web service. And that's all. So after this, the real values will be executed against the web services. Of course, after this, we must set the status of the activity. If everything is all right, then we set activity completed and set the actual end date. And then override values to service manager. But if we catch some exceptions, so something goes wrong, then we must set the status of activity to fail it, and again override the object in service manager. So the calling of verb service is very simple. It's just 10 lines of code. So this is the simplest part of this solution. That's all. So here is it. There is not so many lines of code here. The most of these lines is, as you can see, these comments. So with power of Visual Studio, with power of customization of Service Manager, you can create any solution what you need. For instance, web service call are used to communicate between different systems, between, for instance, Service Manager and Unix-based systems, because usually you cannot use the IP directly to Unix or to Linux. But with web services, you can do everything, because in our time, almost all systems have some web services which you can call to manipulate some data or get data or set data and so on.
Thank you, Anton. Good timing.
One question, will that Visual Studio project be available for public?
That's
it's a good question.
I think we discussed it, yeah, that we might blog about it, yes. It's not yet decided, yeah. But there might be a blog coming up either on Anton's website or we will do it as Alliance to give you at least some hands-on on that.
Really great, yeah.
Okay, we'll take that in mind. Thank you. All right. Excuse me. Now that... to wrap it off again, so Anton has initiated a service request in the console. I'm now, again, more of the end user perspective. He wants to install a workstation. We had the service request going through. The workflow was triggered, and this workflow called a couple of web services in Configuration Manager. Now, obviously, what is the missing part? Those web services. So Roger is now going to talk about the web services that are configured in SCCM. Yeah, you should cancel out the presentation and then flip it over. Und jetzt muss ich die Präsentation abschließen.
Sorry for this.
There you go.
Okay. So Anton triggered an activity to create a device in Config Manager, and hopefully, if I press F5 or click on search, here we are. We have a new device in Config Manager, SLS UCR1. We just want to check the properties, as everything is there. New machine, we should have some deployments on it, like a task sequence somewhere, task sequence with Windows 8. So that means if we switch to a machine, prepare a VM, just to show you that we are not lying. So the machine should boot up. Oops. So look. Should boot up and install Windows 8 on the machine with the software assigned from the service request. So fully automated. You don't have to interact. Just wait a second. And maybe we can later on switch back to see what's going on. Starting a task sequence. If everything is fine, it should start in a second. Or not.
Yeah,
just switch back. So I go a bit back. Generally, in Config Manager, if you want to automate Config Manager, you have a lot of different APIs. I have to deal with it. So the most common one is the WMI interface, where most of the activities can be automated through that interface, but not everything. If you want to manage applications, you have to use the SDK DLLs, which are .NET DLLs. Another option is to use PowerShell. Config Manager provides a lot of PowerShell commandlets, but if you start using it, you realize you cannot do everything, and some activities are slow. So as an alternative, you can connect SQL, get some data directly from SQL, but only read-only, never write back something. There is a management point API, which is a COM interface and some parts in .NET. Then we have an old-fashioned file inbox, which is just a folder where you can place some DDR files, and Config Manager will pick that files and process them. And for the application catalog, there is a SOAP web service. So that means if you want to automate Config Manager, you have to deal with all these different interfaces, and makes it very complicated, as an example, to use it from Orchestrator. That's why we at Celliant decided to create a layer in between, which is a web service that you can access over SOAP or HTTP POT, which allows you easily to connect from PowerShell, Service Managers, COM, SMA, or you can build your own custom web interfaces that interact with that web service. The web service has another benefit. It creates a lock DB where all the activities are locked, so you have one single point of a lock where you can see what users triggered over this web service. for our big picture, we see Service Manager can talk to our web service directly without going over a SCOM orchestrator runbook, and the web service is talking to Config Manager. We've decided to not implement all the technical functions that exist in the SDK in Config Manager. We just focus on the most common functions that make sense to automate in the daily operation, like OS deployment, software assignment, application management, and the user device affinity management. Currently, we have about 30 methods in our web service for Config Manager. It may grow in the next time, but it's not the idea to have thousands of functions in there. Another big benefit of a web service is that it's independent of Microsoft systems. So if you have an orchestrator that is not from Microsoft, you can easily talk to a web service from probably any system. Just explain some of the functions, not all. Anton was used function like create device, where you just have to pass the computer name and the MAC address. And our focus was to make it as simple as possible. So as an example, the MAC address doesn't need to be in a specific format. So you can have double points as delimiter or blanks or what else. Just put it in and the web service knows how to interpret that. If you want to reboot the machine over the network, you have to clear the pixel flag in Config Manager and then just pass the computer name. Technically, you can also pass the resource ID of an object in Config Manager, so the web service detects that automatically. Assigning an OS is the same, just pass computer name, OS name, assign software, computer name, and software name. For these two functions, we are using these DDR records, data discovery records, where you drop a file in the inbox in Config Manager, and the Config Manager takes that file and overrides properties of an object. Of course, you can also create direct membership rules. That's possible. In big enterprise, it's sometimes easier to create query-based collections where you can query on attributes on a computer object. And assign OS and assign software are extending the computer object, so you can easily update these attributes. Get installed device application can be handy if you want to restage a machine and you want to know what application is already installed on that machine. So you can tweak the task sequence easy to install that software during the task sequence again. So you don't have to wait until task sequence finished and until Config Manager has installed all the software. The whole user device affinity stuff is in there. And for demo, we have a function import chocolatey application. So the question is, do you know what chocolatey nougat is? You know chocolatey?
Some of you.
Few, yeah, so.
Maybe we show it quickly.
If we have internet connection. Try to go directly. Chocolatey.org. Oh.
Duplicate. Config Windows P duplicate.
So Chocolatey has nothing to do with Soliant. It's just for a demo. Chocolatey is a package manager like apt-get on Linux, so where you can install software just with a single command. And Chocolatey provides a repository that is managed by the community, and it contains about 2,200 applications that are already in that repository. That means if you want to have a software, let's go a bit down, an example, Java runtime, you just have to pass a single command, and it does everything on that machine. And Microsoft liked the idea, so they decided to implement the command in PowerShell 5. So with PowerShell 5, you get the ability to install packages from the Chocolatey directory directly, just with a single command. Now you have to install a Chocolatey agent, which is a few PowerShell scripts, nothing more. Exactly. So Chocolate doesn't maintain or contain the whole files. It's just the metadata for the packages, and it gets everything from over the internet. So I'm not saying that that's the solution for the enterprises, but it's a nice thing for smaller companies, or if you just want to have a big repository of software. The cool thing is we have an icon, we have a description, we have some keywords. And what I want to demo is just a function that gets all the information from the Chocolatey repository, creates an application in Config Manager, makes a deployment type, makes a deployment, so that within seconds you can just browse to the application catalog and Config Manager and say, I want to have Java runtime. Let's try if this will work. Still. Oops.
More cancel.
Not even canceling it. Do we have connection?
Show it in PowerPoint.
Okay, hopefully later on we have a connection to our environment, so I will just show it in PowerPoint. What we need to call our web service from PowerShell, we just need an URL that points to our web service. We make a connection to that web service and we post the parameter use default credentials, that means it will use the credentials from the user that is running that PowerShell script. And we call the function import Choco application, where we passed the unique name, which is Java runtime. There is an option to pass a specific version, we just leave it blank, so it will take the latest version from the Chocolate repository and creates the app in Config Manager. Let's try again. Keyboard wrong.
Okay, sometimes it's human error. Sometimes it is human error.
So let's try to do that live. So we are going to open PowerShell. Just pass the parameters. It's our URL. That's our web service. Just to demo it, we can also get all the existing methods that we already have. A lot of them are duplicates because of asynchronous calls. And hopefully, we call it, just make, try to search it to make sure that we don't have it. Java runtime. So it's not in our catalog. Just press enter, cross the fingers. Because now it's connecting to the Chocolatey repository, gets the icon, gets the meta information, all the details we need to create an application in Config Manager. And normally, within seconds, it should bring the result. The cool thing is you can also call that function again, and then it will just update the object in Config Manager with the latest version. So in our demo environment, we just downloaded the 2,200 applications from Chocolatey into Config Manager, just to have a demo portal with a few applications in there. So So it's taking longer than normal, but there's still hope. No. Now it's true. That means if I go back to Conf Manager, software library, it's loading. Here we are. We have a new application, Java Runtime. We have a nice icon, we have a description, we have keywords, we have a deployment type, which is of course a script-based deployment, where we just call the chocolatey commands to install Java Runtime. We have a detection method, which is also PowerShell, that just checks if the product is in the chocolatey repository on the local machine. We have a deployment to our user collection. And that means if I open the application catalog again, do a search for Java Runtime, here we are. We have Java Runtime ready for installation. So that means in that demo we use the chocolatey repository, but we can also connect to Service Manager, that you can create your software assets in Service Manager, and we import all the information from Service Manager and publish the information in Conf Manager. So it makes it fully automate the whole process for software deployment.
All right. Thank you, Roger. So to wrap it all up, so I would like to start or to finish off with what I started. I told you guys System Center out of box is cool, but we believe the true power is in one side is integration. So the more System Center components you have, the more fancy it is, the more benefit you get out of it, but it is also in customization because it is a vision that everybody is just on pure System Center. Some customers have third-party service management solutions or other deployment solutions that you need to interact with. We believe web services is a good standard, which is why we chose this approach to be able to interconnect with System Center components more easily by the use of web services. That's also what we believe our company stands for. So we extend System Center experiences by customization and also with some of our products. Now, a key message from me is don't reinvent the wheel. I think we live in a good world with Microsoft products in the terms of there is a big community, and it is very likely that somebody already solved your problem. So go out there, go to the websites, search the TechNet forums, the blogs, the galleries. There's a lot of free stuff on the TechNet gallery. There is, of course, also commercial add-ons, and there is books that you can use to leverage your power of System Center. Now, I would just like to focus a little quick on some of the tools that we offer in this landscape. The ITSM portal you've seen, so Service Manager comes with a portal, which is some Silverlight SharePoint thingy that is not very well accepted by the customers. So we actually replaced this portal with a custom portal based on HTML5 and CSS3. We also add some more functionality, like you've seen with the knowledge base that Mark showcased. You would not be able to do that with the out-of-box portal because you cannot pass query parameters to the portal. We offer a lot of customization in our portal. You can change the look and feel, you can change colors, texts, you can move things around so that it really matches your corporate identity. We spend a great deal on improving the end-user experience. So the whole request wizard, where the people actually need to fill in data, we spent a lot of time to make it more user-friendly, to make it more intuitive. Especially when you have large requests, you can split them into multiple pages, multiple sections, use subheadings to make it more easily for the user to understand, hey, what do I have to fill in here. We also prevent data caching in large environments when somebody has to pick your boss from the list of all employees. This takes like 2 minutes in the out-of-box portal to load. So we prevent that. In our next version, we also have things like conditional questions. You have actually seen that as in our demo when you say, do you want software? Yes, you get a set of questions asked, whereas when you say no, these questions are skipped. We also do repeating tables that allows you to do some sort of shopping cart experience. So things like, I want to order devices. Okay, what type of device, what quantity, when do you want it delivered? And then, okay, add another item. So things like a shopping cart will be added in our next version. And we also allow multi-mapping of questions. It's a typical requirement that, okay, I have 5 questions, but I want them all in the description of the service request. I don't want to have individual properties being extended on my classes because it's a nightmare. So you can just map them all inside your description field. You can obviously also track requests and activities. We also allow sequential service requests where you can actually chain service requests together. Sometimes when the typical example is an employee joining the company, you have a couple of stuff that needs to be done. Things like installing the computer, provisioning a user account, mailbox, HR stuff. So you can have multiple service requests tied together in a master service request. And everybody can interact with this service request and add their information to the service request. Another typical example that we heard from customers is, I can't send emails from service manager. I can send an email by clicking the user and then it opens Outlook, but that's not tracked in my ticket. So we extend service manager to allow you to have a mini Outlook email client inside service manager. You can have rich text there, you can paste screenshots in there. It supports multiple languages, multiple notification templates. And then you can actually send messages to your end user and they're all tracked in the ticket. So if somebody else takes over your call, they see what has been exchanged, what information has been exchanged between the service desk and your end users. Another common requirement is billing. So we actually leverage the out-of-box time tracking in service manager, but allow you to do that on other work items, for instance, change requests. You can track time, how much time did we use on that service request so that you can drive billing of your working time. And obviously, where does this all come from? So we are not a pure software company, and that's also what I believe is the key message. The requirements come from our projects, from our services. So we implement System Center. We get all those requirements from all of you customers. This is really great stuff for us. It motivates us to actually come up with cool solutions. And some of them are available for free. So feel free to come by our booth. We have a lot of free add-ons and tools. Some of them, like the ones you've seen now, they cost a little money. But I think the time you invest in building your own solution is well worth it. So again, visit us at our booth. Talk to our experts. All of these guys are here. We have some more guys around there. Challenge us with your ideas. We're always hungry for challenges. We're always hungry for requirements. What you don't like in Service Manager, what you don't like in Config Manager, what you hate about Scum. And we like to discuss and to come up with ideas on what to do about it. And last but not least, we have one of those boxes at our booth. It wants a new owner. So come by, register for the draw on Friday at 2 p.m. One of you guys can be the lucky winner of a brand new Xbox One. So thank you very much for attending. Please don't forget session feedback. Either use your phone or go online, planning.systemcenteruniverse.ch. And we will stay here to take questions. We don't want you to be starving, so it's lunchtime. But we're willing to take questions.